as I was saying, comes from a section of the discourse given by Jesus in Jerusalem around the Feast of Tabernacles toward the end of his ministry. The full account spans nearly four chapters of John's Gospels, and in it Jesus testifies to his authority to teach, the authority he had of his own, as well as the authority of his Father in heaven. He also challenged the Jewish leaders and their authority. Hear the word of the Lord in our text this morning from the 10th chapter of John's Gospel. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." These are the words. Portmanteau. This is a word, a term coined by Lewis Carroll, used to designate new words created by combining two existing ones and then combining the meanings of them as well. Names of countries and continents are examples of portmanteaus, such as Tanzania and Eurasia. Meals and eating utensils like brunch and spork. Even animals like the liger, a cross between a lion and a tiger. Now, one such word that some of you may have come across, particularly on the internet, is sheeple. Now, from my understanding, this was originally coined sometime in the middle of the 20th century. And as you may guess, it's a portmanteau of the words sheep and people. Now, the word is used typically in a derisive manner. It's used to make fun of the people being called sheeple. The people who are being referred to are typically thought of as weak-willed or willing to submit to any given authority, be it political, religious, or some other authority. Now, what is implied is that the person who is using the term knows better somehow than those people he labels as sheeple. He or she is independent of such behavior, such mindless submission. But is it actually a bad thing to be thought of as sheeple? Well, we'll return to that in a bit. Now, our text begins with the words of Jesus, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Jesus, with these words, is continuing a word picture he began in the previous verses, a description that Jesus was giving of a shepherd in general. Now, a shepherd is one whose voice the sheep recognized. Only the shepherd is able to enter by the gate of the sheep pen legitimately, and only his voice is recognized by the sheep. The sheep follow the shepherd because they know him and they know his voice. Specifically, in describing himself as the door of the sheep, Jesus shows that he is the only way to spiritual pasture and security, to spiritual nourishment. He is the way to salvation. Any who are to legitimately enter the sheep pen must come through him and him alone. The very statement, "I am the door of the sheep," is a testimony to Jesus' very divine nature. He claims for himself with these words that same covenant name of God which was given to Moses at the burning bush. Those who enter by the name of Jesus enter by the name of the Almighty God. Any who wish to enter by another way reject that same God. And so it was that Jesus described those who refused to enter by him. He called them thieves and robbers. He was speaking specifically at the time of the false shepherds of the Jews, and of any who now even take the role of spiritual leader without recognizing his authority and his alone. It was the Pharisees who feared Jesus and his teachings. They desired to retain their role of authority in teaching the people while simultaneously rejecting Jesus and his message. And so it is in our day as well. Many offer spiritual leadership, leadership which takes its authority from a variety of sources. There is a prevailing idea in our time that as long as one tries hard to know God, it really doesn't matter who specifically God is. It will be good enough. Surely all religions lead to the same end. But what does Jesus say of this? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Jesus is the gate, the only gate to the sheep pen. There is no other. The robber and the thief, those who lead in place of Jesus, they substitute their authority for his. They place themselves before him, but they lead only to destruction. Jesus continues his illustration in the 11th verse. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Yet another I am statement. Jesus not only testifies to his divinity yet again, but also to his unique role as our one and only good shepherd. And it is as the good shepherd that Jesus gave his life for the sheep. His substitution, his voluntary laying down his life, was a substitution that was not merely just in place of the sheep, but it was one of a supreme beneficial substitution. In contrast to the willingness of the shepherd to lay down his life, Jesus makes yet another accusation against the Pharisees and against all false teachers. Jesus calls them hirelings, who behold the wolf coming, any danger for the flock, and leave the sheep. Because they do not know the flock, because they do not know the sheep, they forsake them to destruction, to the devil, and to his wiles. Now it's easy for us to hear the words of our text and think of how bad those Pharisees were, leading the flock astray. Or perhaps to look around at other false teachers of our day, who forsake the flock in their own self-interest. But what of the responsibility of the sheep? The sheep hear the shepherd's voice and follow him. And where is it that the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd? Well, we hear his voice in the Word of God. We hear his voice in church on Sunday morning. We hear his voice in our own private devotions, even in our daily chapel addresses. And we forsake the hearing of his voice when we despise studying his word. Forsaking the gathering together to hear his voice in church, being distracted, as we all are from time to time while sitting in chapel or while at church. Neglecting our own personal Bible study. The devil and our flesh do all that they can to turn us from our shepherd's voice. And so we Christians turn to Scripture, asking the Holy Spirit for guidance in the study of the Lord's word. For it is in his word that Jesus calls us back to the flock, away from destruction, and back to the security of the sheep pen. So many of us learn the 23rd Psalm in our younger years, and it is good that we do. This psalm is a beautiful description of Jesus and his provision for our spiritual well-being. Yet, it is the preceding psalm, the 22nd, which tells us exactly how it was that he performed that ultimate work as our good shepherd, that work of sacrifice. A messianic psalm, it prophesies many of the details which transpired on Good Friday. The psalm begins with the very words of Jesus on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was only by Jesus' willing sacrifice on the cross that Good Friday, prophesied by that psalm, that he could then call us his, and we call him ours. So what of the sheeple business? There will always be those who criticize Christians for following Scripture, for abiding by the word of God, and for following Jesus blindly. But we should not be ashamed of the word of the gospel of Christ, for we know that it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Everyone is ultimately following someone. Jesus calls us to follow him. Amen. We sing hymn 409, 1 and 4. 409, 1 and 4.